sake. Psalm 23, we'll read all six verses and we'll focus on one phrase. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you would join me in going back to verse number 4, we'll be considering this phrase this morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we've come to this passage in the Bible and we give you our thanks for the comfort that is brought to the saints down through the ages. I thank you, Lord, that you saved our souls, that you've called us into your fold. And for those of us who are saved, we can boldly exclaim that the Lord is our shepherd. And Father, as we cover this passage in the Bible today, I pray, Lord, that you'd fill my lips with messages from you. Protect me, Lord, from saying things I shouldn't. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of the hearer today in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We've been covering the different things that a shepherd does for his sheep. And as with ordinary sheep management, so with God's people. Many times we only gain higher ground by climbing through the valleys. This verse talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death. While reading about this shepherd who has led his sheep to higher ground during certain seasons of the year, he said the best way to get up to a higher plane or a plateau to feed the sheep in an appropriate way during certain seasons was by traveling through the valleys. Many times God has us go through valleys in our lives. These valleys sometimes are not very enjoyable. They're difficult. But it is during these valley experiences that we experience the refreshment from God himself. A good shepherd, of course, would understand that the way to the mountaintop was actually through the valleys. It was a way to lead the sheep to this higher ground during certain seasons for their protection, for their sustenance. You know, God led the children of Israel through the wilderness. Our good shepherd, the chief shepherd, is many times going to lead us through these valleys in life. It should be noted that the verse is not necessarily talking about that time where you will personally go down into the valley of death, although it certainly can be applied to that. But the scripture says in verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It does not say that I'm going to die in the valley of the shadow of death or even stop there. But rather, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, while it's customary to use this verse as a consolation to those who are passing through the dark valley of death, even here, the child of God is reminded that death is not an end, but merely a door into a higher and more exalted life and an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is not to be feared for the Christian. The Bible says, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? I've said often before, I cannot be threatened with heaven. When I want to live as long a life as God wants me to live. But at the end of my days, when I'm entering that time where I'm going to personally walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I want to have the same confidence as the psalmist had that there was somebody with me and that better things await. Death is not the end of. That's what the resurrection shows us. When Jesus got up from the grave, he shows us that in the resurrection, that there is life beyond the grave. We don't just die and stay in the grave. You say, well, that's what I believe happens. You can believe that, but it doesn't make it true. There's a lot of things you can believe. You don't have to believe in gasoline when you buy a new car. I don't believe in that. Well, see how long your car will run. I don't believe in hell. You don't have to believe in it to make it true or false. You don't have to believe in the truths of Scripture. By the way, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Right.
You know, Jesus talked about the truths of heaven and hell. Luke chapter number 16, there was Lazarus and the rich man. And they both had a future destiny. And all I could say is that on the positive end of the business, I'm thankful that when we get to the end of this life, there's glory that awaits. There's coming a day, my friend, when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. There'll be no more burdens to carry over there. Every week we try to go over to the nursing home, and there's people there that are struggling with great health needs. Some of them are now confined to a wheelchair, and they'll never be able to get out because their body has run its race, and their body has become worn and tired and weak. But I'm telling you right now, over in heaven, there will be no wheelchairs. Some of you are wearing eyeglasses today. Your eyes have grown dim. People in the Bible, as they age, their eyes grow dim. Some of you young people, your eyes are going to grow dim because of the shine off your face from your phones and your computer screens. But I'm here to tell you, there will be no glasses in heaven. And by the way, if your mother told you that eating carrots would help your vision, don't believe it, because I had great vision and I never eat carrots anymore. If your mother told you that, she was lying. If she told you that liver was juicy steak, she was lying. There ain't nothing juicy about liver. Speaking of liver, death is but a dark valley opening out into an eternity of delight with God. You know, there's life beyond the grave. There's life beyond this life. And of course, we as God's people want everybody to know that there is a God in heaven and that you can be saved. Some people are enamored by a Baptist idea of missions. The Baptist idea of missions basically is church planting. We plant churches, we preach the gospel so that everybody can hear the truth. There are some people who do not know the Lord. There are some people who have been taught false doctrine. The only way that we can get to heaven is through the belief and the understanding that Jesus Christ died in our place on the cross, and that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even people who are rich in other countries deserve a chance to hear the gospel. The Bible says to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. One pastor said about this passage, this is one reason that he has told us, lo, I am with you always. Yes, even in the valley of death. He went on to say, I was keenly aware of this consolation when my wife went on to higher ground. For 2 years, we had walked through the dark valley of death, watching her beautiful body being destroyed by cancer. As death approached, I sat by her bed with her hand in mine. Gently, we passed through the valley of death. Both of us were quietly aware of Christ's presence. There was no fear, just a going on to higher ground. These are two believers as they approach death. He was holding her hand, and he said, we were both keenly aware of God's presence. You know, I'll mention this a little bit more, but I can tell you this. God can give you peace about the subject of death. God can give you peace about the subject of death. We sing a song in our book called Tell It to Jesus, and the songwriter said this. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom, are you sighing? Amen to that. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. I'm here to tell you today, friend, you can have perfect peace with the Lord about the subject of death. And for the Christian, death is not to be feared. Of course, we don't relish in the subjects of death and the subject of death, although we know that death passes upon all men. The reason? For all have sinned. Every time you pass a graveyard, there's evidence that sin is on this world, is in this world. You see the gravestone, you pass a funeral home. You go sometimes in these city areas, and these large city areas, you see a populated burial ground, and some burial grounds reach their capacity. Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. is soon reaching its capacity. They're going to have to purchase more land in order to bury all the soldiers that come or the people who are going to be buried there. They're going to run out. Sometimes the graves there's so many of them. It's an amazing thing to see that. By the way, I highly recommend that you visit Washington, D.C. and view that and remember the cost of your freedom. It was those soldiers who gave and bled and died so that we might be able to have the freedom to come to church on Sunday and preach from the Bible and not have the government tell us how and to preach and how and to baptize. I want to tell you something. People came here for spiritual freedom. Those many years ago, this country was founded on Christian principles. But all I'm here to say is that, you know, when you go by a graveyard and you see an amazing amount of gravestones, it's a reminder that we're heading for death and that sin is here. Bible says death is passed upon all men for that all have sinned. As Christians, we need to remind ourselves that God allows us to go through terribly tough times. But we should know for a fact that in the end it will prove how God is trying to work us into a better relationship with Him, and we should be able to reflect upon the trials and the tribulations of life and give God glory for how He came through during these days, these dark days of walking through these valleys. God can give us grace even to thank Him for the difficult days, the dark days, because we discovered that He's with us during these times of distress. I want to say these things as we consider Psalm 23 and verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Number one, we will all walk through the valley of the shadow of death ourselves. Very few people will walk through the valley of the shadow of death themselves before walking through it with somebody else. Many of us, when we sing songs like In the Sweet By and By, there are people whose names come to mind. Years ago, as a 16-year-old boy, I went hunting for the very first time in northern Michigan with a man named Dennis Burrick, who was like a second father to me. He was a big, strong man. I was encouraged by his strength. There was a great fear that came into my mind when I met Brother Burrick. He was 6'5". He was large. And he was strong. We killed a spikehorn buck one year, and he showed us how to skin the deer down. And I remember the day that me and his two sons were watching him as he was taking the head off of that deer as we were trying to butcher the deer so that we could eat some of the deer. Now, if you get sick about this, don't worry about it. You're going to go to the store and buy some meat here soon. This happened to whatever meat was butchered where you got it from, too. But anyhow, Brother Dennis he skinned the deer down, and he took the head of that deer, and without a knife, he took the deer's head off. And me and his boys sat there watching him, and we thought if he could do that to that deer, he could do that to us. And so we never said a cross word to old Brother Dennis. I love Brother Dennis. He was a man of incredible strength. But Brother Dennis, right after his first granddaughter got married, he had a massive heart attack and he went on to be with the Lord. And whenever I go hunting, I think about Brother Dennis. And I remember going to the funeral for Brother Dennis and hugging his sweet wife, Patty, and telling her how sorry I was. He was the head of that Christmas tree. I'm telling you, he was like the patriarch of that family. The whole family and all their reunions centered around Brother Dennis. Come Thanksgiving, he's the one that was cooking the turkey. And boy, that guy could whoop up a breakfast. I mean, I don't know if preaching about food upsets you, but I every time I make cheesy eggs, this is no joke, I thank God for him. He was the first person that I ever saw taking a cheddar cheese block and cutting them cheddar cheese things and putting them in the cheese and folding it into those eggs. There's never a place that hit every spot like Brother Dennis's eggs. But Brother Dennis was gone. And I saw his boys walk through the valley of the shadow of death for their father. And I was there in the midst of this great congregation that met for his funeral. Now, Brother Dennis, he was a man of great humor, and I love him. I'll get to see him again one day, and You know, he was somebody who struggled with his weight, and he went ahead and had one of those things done to his belly called a sleeve gastrectomy so he could lose some weight. Brother Dennis was known on Saturdays to go out and on visitation and knocking on doors and winning people to the Lord. But on Saturdays, they'd always, after they got done with their soul-winning expeditions, they'd go to a place called the Dairy Whip, and they would eat an ice cream cone. And the pastor at his funeral was telling this story how that one day Brother Dennis wanted to find out from his pastor if he thought that it was okay for him to have had that surgery for him to lose that weight on his belly. And he was licking on an ice cream cone. He said, "Pastor, what do you think about this surgery?" And he told Brother Dennis, he said, "Perhaps if we bypassed the Dairy Whip on Saturday, you wouldn't have to have that." Anyway, you didn't get as much humor out of that as I did. But I sing those songs about in the sweet by and by and the blessings that hallow our days. The people who've gone on before, who've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who've preached the gospel, who have stood for the things that God would have us to stand for. I remember a couple years ago, my pastor, Brother Paul McWhorter, had to go through the valley of the shadow of death with his sweet wife, who died with an incurable lung disease. And they watched her go through that valley and struggling for breath toward the end of her days. But she was encouraging her boys to stay in church and to do right by the Lord. And we saw a star go through. And then when we went to the funeral and took part in that funeral, I remember watching my pastor step about 5 or 6 steps away from the casket where his wife was. And he just had a moment all by himself, looking, remembering the goodness that God had shared with him by giving him his sweet wife. We will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we will walk through it with others. I would like to say this. We should be able to minister to others who are walking through that valley. Often as a pastor, I'm asked to preach funeral services for people whom I do not know. I believe that there are comforting things in the Word of God, this being one of them, that if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord will be with us. And I still think that when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you should be able to remember the good things about that person, and their remembrance in your heart and in your mind could be a great comfort. There always will be grief with the loss, but there's always things that God give us in order to comfort us. And some of those are the precious memories that God gives. Those who are best in ministering to others have already walked through the valley themselves. In just a few weeks, when Brother Prater gets here, he's probably going to give you some better pointers on how to minister to people who have walked or who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But I want to say this to all of our congregation. If you're walking through the valley and somebody else is going through it with their family, it's not always necessary for you to say anything. Sometimes just being there is what's most important. When you come into the funeral home and you see that person standing next to the casket, sometimes it's just good for your eyes to meet their eyes and let them speak first. Let them go through their process of grieving. Be a shoulder for other people to cry on. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to say things like, you know, God must have needed them more than you needed them. Sometimes that's not a comfort to people who have taken a sudden loss. While you're ministering to others, be smart, but be there for them. And I'll say this, we will also walk through the valley of the shadow of death ourselves. Sometimes death comes upon people suddenly and without any warning. This is why we preach to our teenagers that they need to make their calling and election sure. Those of you who are putting off the issue of salvation in order till after you turn 21 or some greater day in your life when you'll get saved, you don't know that you're going to reach some greater day in your life. No man is even promised tomorrow. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth." You are going to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and all I can tell you is the songwriters of old would always sing songs about unprepared to meet thy God, and there's coming a judgment day. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day today? If you're in church today, you can prepare for that day. You can get ready to meet the Lord. I met some people who don't want to think about death. They don't want to think about the judgment. They just want to think about life and living their life. I want to tell you something today, friend. The best thing that you have is the soul that you have within you. It's an eternal thing. And you need to prepare for the day when you'll leave this earth. So we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We'll go through it with others, and we'll go through it ourselves. The greatest promise about the valley of the shadow of death is found in this verse. Psalm chapter number 23. The Bible says, "For thou art with me." It's a blessing to know that when you're going through issues of death, that God is with you. I've told the story many times about my friend Aubrey Brown, whose 14-year-old son died of leukemia at the age of 14. With no warning, a healthy 14-year-old boy went to a hospital in Birmingham, Alabama, and within 2 weeks he watched his son die. He was struggling to comfort his wife. His wife was hysterically crying in the room, and he found it to be at a place in his life where he just felt like, where's God in this? I'm praying, but every time he's praying for his son to get better, but he grew no better. He grew the worse. Brother Aubrey told the story about how he went off into a hallway and sat down and said, "Lord, if there was ever a time that I needed you, I need you right now. I need you to assure me that you're here with me now." And he said, as sure as I'm standing here, the Spirit of God came around him and gave him a big old hug and said, "Hey, I'm with you." And he said he was able to go back in that hospital room and put his arms around his wife and tell her that everything was going to be okay. There is no greater promise in the Bible but that God is going to be there with you through the valleys of life. If you're going through a valley today, you could be going through a financial valley. You could be going through a family valley where somebody has gone astray and somebody's hurt you. The valley of a broken heart. The valley of difficulty. The valley of pain. The valley of the shadow of death. The greatest promise in the Scripture is that the Lord is with him. And the Lord is with you. You remember how that Simon the Cyrenian, you know, Jesus was carrying his cross up to Calvary. It came to a point where the Bible said they compelled a man named Simon the Cyrenian to come and carry the cross with the Lord. He was put under that cross and they were trudging up the hill. I personally believe that it looked like a yoke of oxen as they were going up Mount Calvary. And I'll tell you this, I don't think Simon did any of the carrying. I think Jesus did all the carrying. And I think when Simon got up to the top of the hill, he probably recognized how it was Jesus carrying the weight and not him. But the closer he was to the Lord, he got to hear the voice of the Lord where he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was able to see the most intimate areas of Jesus' heart as he walked up there to Calvary. He wasn't going up there with any hatred for the sins of man. He went up there with his heart full of love for us so that he could pay our sin debt on the cross. And is it any wonder that Jesus was crucified between two thieves? Nobody understood that when he was on that cross, he was paying. He had taken our sins from us. He stole our sins, if you will. He took upon him every sin that you've ever committed and he paid for it in full. The Bible talks about the Lord being with us during those times of the valley times. If you're going through a valley time here today, perhaps you don't see the grace of God or the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. Perhaps you don't sense the presence of the Lord. I'm here to tell you that the Bible says to those of us who are Christians that when you go through these valleys, the presence of God walks through them with you. If you are a Christian with a proper view, I want to say this. The presence that God is with you will eliminate the subject of fear. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." If Christ is with you in the valley, it eliminates fear. Now, there's a lot of people who have fear when they think about the coming of death. And they try to avoid the subject. But if you're a Christian with a proper view, death shouldn't be something that causes you fear. Death is a part of life. And the Bible promises that the Lord will be with us in that valley of the shadow of death. Years ago, I recorded music at a recording studio, and I recorded for my first CD a song somewhere between songs 4, 5, and 6. was a song that I learned to sing in a nursing home. It was called Leave It There. It was written by a black preacher by the name of Charles Tindley, who wrote hundreds of hymns, great hymns. He wrote the song, We'll Understand It Better By and By. He wrote the song, Leave It There. And one of the verses of that song talks about somebody who was nigh unto death. They were getting close to that time when they were going to die and pass over into the next life. I sing this often at nursing homes still, where one of the phrases of that song says, He will never leave you then, He'll go with you to the end. If you're a Christian here today, you don't have a shepherd who's just going to leave you in the valley and he's not going to meet you there. If you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, Jesus promises to meet you in the valley of the shadow of death. You will not cross over alone. You know why? Because he's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. I want to tell you who's not a good shepherd. Satan. He's a terrible shepherd. He'll promise you the world, but he won't be there for you when it counts. And he won't be there for you when you're heading for death neither. There's a lot of people they're talking about that they're on this highway. I'm sure that you're familiar with songs that have been written by people who do not believe on Christ. And they sing about being on this highway to hell. And when they get to hell, they're going to do all this partying with their friends. And they're going to do all this carousing and all this. I want to tell you something about hell. It's not going to be a party down there. The Bible describes hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible describes hell as a deep, dark, bottomless pit. There's nothing good about hell. They say they're going to have fun with their friends in hell. They're not going to have fun with friends because they can't see their friends in hell. They might be able to hear their friends in hell, but they can't see them in hell. Hell's a place of great loneliness. Hell's a place of great suffering. The Bible talks about the rich man going there and he said that he was tormented in the flame and he just wanted one drop of water to cool his tongue, but he was told you can't get any water. So for all these rock music musicians, and they produce these great sounding songs about the attractiveness of hell. There is no attractiveness about hell. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And that's one of the tragedies about those who die without Christ, is when they get to the valley of the shadow of death, there's nobody going to be there for them, and they're going to be cast into hell. You say, you sound angry. Well, there's certain things that do spiritually anger me. And trying to put something before our young people that's enticing, that's not enticing at all. There's nothing good about hell. There's nothing good about going there. But there is something good about the Lord Jesus Christ. He made a way so that nobody had to go there. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. Even those who produce those songs, those music. That music, you know what? They're subject for salvation too. God will save them too. God will save anybody who comes to Him in repentance and faith. The Lord doesn't turn any away repentant sinner. When a repentant sinner comes to the Lord says, come. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You remember the story of the woman who was taken in adultery in John chapter 8? We preached about her about a month and a half ago. Jesus said, I didn't come here to condemn you. You say, I committed similar sins. Jesus didn't come here to condemn you for failing morally by his standard. Jesus came here to save you. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In modern day vernacular, it means this statement means something. It's going to work. This is a statement that's so true. The world can't even understand how true this statement is. And that is this, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. If you're a sinner here today, Jesus came here to save you. He didn't come here to condemn you. He came here to forgive you. And when he laid his life down on Calvary, when he carried that cross up on Calvary those 2,000 years ago, he paid for the sins of everybody who'd lived up till then. And he paid for all the sins of anybody who's living to now and even beyond now. He paid for all the sin. And he said, it is finished. Jesus's payment was made for all. God's not willing that any should perish. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, it says that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus Christ was our payment. He died in our place, substitutionally. There may be somebody here today, and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. I'm here today to say the truth of John 3:36 is still true. The wrath of God abides upon you if you're not saved. Say, what does that mean? That means if you die in a lost condition, there will be no offer of repentance beyond the grave. And nobody said amen to that, probably not because they don't believe it, but because it's such a sad thing. You have during this life, when you're living and breathing, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're a sinner today and you don't know the Lord, you're lost. You need to be saved by the good grace of God. If you come to Jesus and you believe that what He did for you on that cross, Jesus died on the cross, if you accept that and say, yes, I believe that, He did that for me, and I come to the Lord believing on His name for salvation, Jesus will save you today too. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what about me, Pastor? I sang in a rock band, or I sang in a country band. I remember hearing a guy in church, he was moaning and groaning. He was under great conviction. He was in Nashville, Tennessee, living it up. He was a married man who didn't always do right by the things that he was required to do. But I remember our pastor preaching on the Lord being willing to forgive anybody. And for weeks he battled these issues of salvation. Can God forgive me? And the answer is yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. The Lord can forgive you if you come to Him. He's not going to force you. And He won't force you to believe either. But I remember the day that my friend Don Merriman, who's passed on to be with the Lord, came forward. One of the greatest guitar players that I'd ever heard. He played with a guy by the name of Chet Atkins. That's how talented he was. But he got saved in our church. You know what he did after he got saved? He wanted to play his guitar for the church. Nobody could ever play that guitar like Don. I thank God that the Lord saved him in his older years. If you're older here today and you don't have much time left, you say, I've got more days behind me than in front of me. And if you're not saved, you could be saved today too. The Lord will forgive you for everything you've ever done. But young people, you don't have to wait till you get older. And as we talked about earlier, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. So I want to encourage you here today. Psalm chapter number 23 says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord's your shepherd. You don't have to fear any evil. I was walking through death with somebody else not long ago in Indiana, a friend of ours. I'd go up to her house and I'd sing with her and I'd play sermons for her and we'd pray with her. And I told her there was some times where she battled fear of death, fearing. I said, there's nothing to be afraid of, sister. Death can't bite you. Death can't hurt you. The Bible talks about the shadow of death. Shadows don't bite and shadows don't hurt. Shadows are a reflection of life, are a reflection of light. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's going to shepherd you to that other side where He's going to wipe all of our tears away. There'll be no sickness, sorrow, or death. If you're sitting here today, number one, and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I want to encourage you during the invitation time to come before the Lord in saving faith. I want to be saved. The first attitude of a repentant sinner is, yes, I'm a sinner, and you should know this. You've got no way to get to heaven except for the Lord Jesus Christ. The way to heaven is not through the baptismal waters. The way to heaven is not putting money in the plate. The way to heaven is not attending things, church visitation and doing things for the Lord. The way to heaven isn't by praying more. The way to heaven isn't through reading your Bible more. The way to heaven is not through works. It's through a person, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to come through the way, the truth, and the life. If you're saved here today and you're struggling with thoughts of fear about the valley of the shadow of death, or if you're living your life in the shadow of fear, God came to deliver you from those things. Jesus doesn't want you to fear that. He wants you to live your life in faith and in confidence. And the Bible says, and the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. If you're not living your life that way today, friend, maybe you need to come and trust the Lord. For not just for your soul, but for the life that you're living. Lord, take this fear from me. I want to tell you something. Fear is not a fruit of the Spirit. Fear is a great tyrant in people's lives. And unless you learn to deal with it in faith, it can hobble you. It can affect the way that you parent. It'll affect the way that you live your life as a Christian. Fear can cripple you. The Bible says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. God has spoken to your heart today. As we have this invitation, we invite you to come. As we stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Psalm 23. All of us are going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us are going through valleys right now. I want to bring comfort to those of you who are Christians. You're walking through the valley with somebody else right now. The Bible says, I'm with you. Some people need to bow the knee and say, Lord, I need your presence. I'm asking for your presence here today. If God's spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. You need to get saved today. I want to invite you to come. You need to get something right with the Lord today. Hey, Lord, I've been struggling with sin. I invite you to come. You've come to the Lord's house. You've come to the right place. God's spoken to you as Brother John sings this first verse of Pass Me Not. I invite you to come. These others are coming.
Thank you.
sing God is so good together.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
He answers prayer. We're so thankful for everybody who's come. We've had some visitors come, and we just want to say thank you for coming to the Metropolitan Baptist Church. We pray that you sense the Spirit of God around this house. And the Spirit of God is what our families need. The choir sang today about I can feel the touch of the Lord. I could see the Lord. And I'm thankful that when the Lord's around our families, you can see the Lord working in our families. And I pray that He's working mightily in your family. If you have time, and I hope and pray that you'll make time to be back tonight, or we have evening services at 6 o'clock, and tonight we'll be having a time of fellowship after the evening service. And Brother Allen said that he smoked. So did you smoke pork shoulders or pieces of pork?
Yes.
What about rib meat?
Rib too.
He's got rib too. Pork and rib too. Pork ribs, short ribs. Do you have cow ribs? How can you mess up ribs? Did you overcook it or just fall off the bone? He just said, right. I thought it was one or the other. Did you overcook it or does it just fall off the bone? Because I've seen it cooked just right and it fall off the bone. Hey, man, I like those. And so if you want to have some good smoked meat, we do have people that smoke in this church and we celebrate that. But it's a smoking the food, all right. And we'll have a good meal tonight. Sometimes it's good just to be around the people of God and to fellowship with one another. And we'll be doing that tonight after the evening service, 6 o'clock. I promise I'll try to get done early tonight if you say amen enough to the preaching. And I might even be done before 7 o'clock so we can get over there and have some of that smoked meat. And so we thank you for being here this morning. Brother John Davison, would you come to the pulpit, please, and dismiss the service in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again, just so thankful for your love for us, your goodness for us, to us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. Lord, I pray that everyone here does hear your voice, Lord, and if not, they will come to that knowledge to understand that they need you. Lord, we love you. We ask that you be with us this afternoon. Bring us back safely tonight for fellowship and for a time of reading your word and understanding your word. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.